Lord, it's good to be back at First Baptist Church in Haltom City.
Amen.
And we enjoy being here. It's a great place to be. I'm glad that y'all are taking good care of my mom. And I appreciate that. Every Sunday afternoon, we have a Zoom meeting with the family members that want to and can get online. There's usually my mom and myself and then some other people. My brothers, that's who it is, and our daughter usually gets on there. And when they asked us where we were, we told them, and my brother Blake said, I love to hear Brother Mosley preach. And so I'm thankful for friends that can preach and do preach, amen, and leave an impression on someone's life. I really do, amen. The Lord's been good to us. Some of you ask about our RV. It is right now repaired and running good. So, of course, it's now mine. And when it's broke, it's his. Isn't that the way it is? Amen? No, it's always his. But we're thankful that the Lord has put it back on the straight and narrow, at least for a while. You have your Bibles. I want to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 9 to begin with this evening. Keep your Bibles handy. We'll probably look two or three places in the Scripture. And I'm thankful for what the Bible tells us and how he tells us things in the Word. He never makes a mistake.
Amen.
I'm glad that he doesn't have any plan Bs.
Amen.
All of his plan As work to perfection.
Right. Yes, sir.
He doesn't have any plan B. I've got plan G, H, I, L. I got all of them. Amen. But His works just the way it's supposed to work when we follow and do what he's told us to do. Now there's the rub right there. Following along and doing what he's told us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter number 9, look here what the Bible said. Verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go and to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. The people great and tall, the children of the Anakims whom thou knowest, and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day, the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, he shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Now, we don't have an enemy that we can see with our eyes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But our wrestling and our warfare is against spiritual wickedness in high places. But here the Anakims represent sin. That's what they represent. And God says this, if you'll follow me and you'll do what I've said I would defeat sin for you.
Amen.
He did that at Calvary.
Amen.
He defeated every sin, every temptation, every heartache I've ever had. He's defeated it.
Amen.
The only reason that I have those and worry over this is when I try to take them back from him and worry over them myself. Now he's told them, if you'll go over Jordan to possess the land, I'll drive out the inhabitants before you. Look, though, to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Moses is now dead. We're going to see that. And he's going to give basically the same instruction and promise to Joshua that he gave to Moses. In Joshua 1 verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days that I live. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe it according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe it according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord God, thy God, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he is reiterating basically the same promises that he gave to Moses to his man Joshua. Look now over to Joshua chapter number 11. Joshua chapter number 11. And we'll look down at verse number 18. Keep your Bibles handy. Make sure that I'm doing this right. Follow along. Amen. In Joshua chapter number 11, verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, all other they took in battle. If you remember, the Gibeonites came in with guile, told them they were from a country far away, their bread was moldy, their water bottles were broken, and they lied to them. But because Moses promised them something, they would not destroy them, he's going to fulfill that promise. So they didn't take the Hivites. Verse 20, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly. They might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. At that time King Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. And I wish we could stop right there. But he went a little further. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their division by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now I want to preach on this thought tonight, if the Lord will help me. Quitting too soon. Quitting too soon. Joshua, with a well-trained, well-disciplined, well-supplied army, they are taking city after city, nation after nation, almost, as the old saying goes, without firing a shot. Now, I know they didn't have guns, but you know what I'm saying. Because God fought the battle in front of them. It was God's promise, and he fulfilled what he was promising. And when it got right down to it at the end, it was more guerrilla warfare than anything else. It wasn't two armies meeting in a valley. It wasn't that. It was that the Anakims were hid away in the rocks and caves. I guess maybe Joseph got a little weary, got a little tired. Perhaps he got a little prideful what God had done in his life delivering these nations. Whatever it was, he left some of the Anakims in three places, Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And these Anakims that Joshua left became a problem to the children of Israel for more than 1,000 years after Joshua has died. Why? He quit too soon. He quit too soon. Look, sin that, and I'm preaching tonight to a mature crowd. Amen. The truth is, 20 years are going to do a terrible toll on this crowd. I'll be like 57. Or something like that. Something like that. 20 years is going to take a terrible toll on this crowd. And sin that we can take care of, we're not. And we're leaving it for the next generation and the next generation. And they are becoming weaker and weaker than even our generation is. Now the ones that went before us, boy, they blazed the trail. I mean, I've heard When the independents got started, they were meeting in chicken houses, under trees, and now we have fully carpeted, fully padded pews, whirly jigs on the ceiling. We got it all. $1,100 sound system. But we're weaker because we've let some sin slide that should have been taken care of. Look with me in your Bibles. Keep them handy if you will, please. We'll begin over in Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. When we come to Judges 16, this is very familiar turf to those of us who have been in the service of the Lord for a while. We're going to meet a man named Samson. Now, where did he leave the Anakims? Three places: Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. When we get to Judges 16, as far as I can tell, Joshua's been dead 200 plus years. He's dead. Now, you'd have thought, that those Anakims that he left behind, they would also be dead. That's not the case. They've been having young'uns. And in verse number 1, then went Samson to where? To Gaza. Saw there in a harlot, went into her. Told the Gazites, saying, Samson, come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night. And they gave the city, were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson laid at midnight and rose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city, the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, with the bottom of his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. That could have been as much as 38 miles that he carried the gates and the bars of this city. And when he did this, they really doubled their efforts to what they were going to do. And so when we look down a little further, we'll come to where they have put a woman in charge of taking Samson down. And the Bible says that her name is Delilah. They come to her, the five lords of the Philistines, and say to her, if you can find out what makes this cat so strong, we give you 1,100 pieces of silver each. That's 5,500 pieces of silver. You see, it was not his physique that made him strong. They'd look at him and he's a little puny guy, I suppose, or maybe average, and they couldn't figure out where his strength came from. Well, we know that it came from a dedication to God. It wasn't even the hair. It was a dedication to God. That was a part of it. That was his Nazarite vow, and it may not have been the whole head. It may have been one lock that had left to grow. I'm not sure what. But whatever it was, they said, if you can find out what makes him so strong, we're going to pay you off. And so she begins to talk to Samson. What makes you so strong? And he begins to play with her. If you do this to me, if you'll bind me with 7 cords, that didn't work. If you bind me the green wheels, that didn't work. And he just went on and on and on, but he kept getting closer and closer to what the truth was. And finally, she turned on the waterworks. Now, women can do this. I believe that God put in every woman a manipulating gene. Not one man said amen. Bunch of cowards here. But that's the way God made you, amen. And it starts when they're about this tall, getting up in daddy's lap. Daddy. Grandpa. Here's what I want. Enough said about that. She finally tells her what makes him so strong. She calls him to go to sleep on her knees. She calls for a barber, shaves off, yes, the 7 locks of his head. And he says, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the power of God had departed from him. But all of his confidence in himself, I whipped him once, I whipped him the second time, I whipped him the third time. This will be no different. Samson can handle that. When they came in, they pinned his arms to his side. He'd never been pinned. They hustle him out, I suppose, somewhere and heat a poker until it's white hot, and while one holds his head, the other one sears the eyeballs out of his skull. We attach him to a grinding press, and he grinds the grain for the Philistines, for the enemy. And Gaza became a place of captivity. Captivated Samson. It captivated his eyes. He saw this woman. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, that song ought to be sung in the auditorium. Amen.
Amen.
It captivated his eyes. That's where sin normally comes in. Usually comes in the eye gate. They sell everything they can sell. They sell it with sex. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. That's just the truth. Went into an auto parts store. There was a calendar behind the wall. I didn't mean to look at it, but there's a woman there that doesn't have, bless her heart, enough clothes to make a decent seat for a bicycle cover. Men stand at that counter and say, she's holding an oil filter, which she doesn't know what that is. Oh, me one of them oil filters. Do you need an oil filter? No. Isn't that amazing? Like the woman that told her husband, there's water in the carburetor. He said, this car doesn't even have a carburetor. Where's the car at? She said, it's in the pool. Okay. Captivated his eyes. I'm out of the impression that there's nothing good happens after 9:30 at night. Go home, go to bed. I mean, you don't need to be out seeing things. You got to work, that's one thing. Go home, go to bed. It's captivated his eyes. It captivated his pride. Chapter 14, he said, made a feast for so used to the young men to do. I guess it's kind of like a bachelor party. He says to the Philistines, let me put forth this riddle. If you can tell me the riddle, I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothes. If you can't tell me, you give me that thing. And so at the end of the feast, Delilah comes to him and turns the tears on. You don't love me. If you love me, you'd tell. He said, I haven't told my mom and dad. But he does tell her what it is. And she tells the Philistines. And they say, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion? And he goes out and commits murder 30 times to fulfill this riddle. Now, killing in battle is one thing. But he's killing to appease his pride. It captivated his eyes, captivated his pride, captivated his sensuality. Well, he goes to the harlot. Captivated his character. He now has lost the ability to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. Because you hang out, let me give you some Southern theology. You ready for some Southern theology? Here it is. If you run with skunks, you're going to stink. Not north, they get real dignified and say, birds of a feather flock together. But it's the same deal. You run with skunks, it ain't long you're going to smell like that. And he's run with the world. He's lost his character. Sin captivated his eyes, his pride, his sensuality, his character, captured his spirituality. Cannot discern again between right and wrong, good and evil. We're at a place in America where it isn't black and white anymore. It's just shades of gray. Things we preached on 30 years ago, we're patting on the head and taking home with us. What happens? We've been captured. It became a place of captivity. At Gaza, now think about this, it's one of God's people against the entire army of Israel. He whipped them and he whipped them and he whipped them until he gave in to sin. Quitting too soon. If Joshua had taken care of the Anakims in Gaza, his great, 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 whatever grandson, and it might not have been his bloodline, but you know that, the Jewish line, then Samson may never have come up against this woman and got himself in trouble. Look over, if you will, with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. Again, very familiar text. 1 Samuel chapter 17. come to 1 Samuel 17. The Bible said in verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socal, which belonged unto Judah, and pitched between Socal and Azekiah and Ephrathdammon. And Saul, the men of Israel, gathered together and pitched by the valley. And Eli set the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. His height was 6 cubits in span. So now we come to the second group of people that Joshua left. Far as I can tell, he has now been dead more than 380 years. You'd think that the Anakims he left there in Gath would be dead also, but just as Joshua's descendants have continued to multiply, so have the Anakims' descendants begin to multiply. Let me give you a for instance. Back in the early 60s, a plane landed at LaGuardia Airport in New York City. Four young men got off the plane from a place called London, England. And they came to America to sing a song. And the name of the song was, I Want to Hold Your Hand. It was, of course, the Beatles. When they got off the plane that day, they looked better than most gospel quartets do today. Suits, nice haircuts, shiny shoes. You can listen to the song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, forward and backwards and backmask it and get all the deep, darty, dark, devious meaning you can get. And about all you can come up with is, I want to hold your hand. But God began to whisper in preachers' hearts and say, you need to get up and preach against this kind and this style of music. And some preachers did, and some listened, but the majority didn't. And though there may not be anything wrong with I Want to Hold Your Hand, I wouldn't dare read the lyrics of some of the songs that's out today. Yes. With all the filthiness and vileness and killing their parents and committing suicide and devil worship. What's happened? That sin that should have been taken care of back then has gotten stronger in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Gaza became a place of captivity. In Gath, it becomes a place of cowardice. David goes out to the valley, gives the cheeses. How you doing, brothers? Eliab and the rest of them. How y'all doing? And about that time, the giant comes out, stands on the hill across the valley of Eli and says, Saul, you big coward, come out here and fight me. And Saul stood head and shoulders above any man in the kingdom. He is a giant himself. But David hears him this time. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Eliab said, who have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He minimizes David's position. What are you here for? I know the pride and I know it's thine heart. Then I come out to see the battle. Can I tell you why he's there? His daddy told him to go. That's why he's there. He said, I'll go fight him. I'll go fight him. So at Gaza, it's one of God's men against the entire army of the enemy. We come to Gath, it's one of the enemy holding the entire army of Israel at bay. Boy, things have switched around, hadn't it? That's why I call this a place of cowardice. They're hovering away in their tents. Don't want to hear what the enemy's got to say. Place of cowardice. What are they afraid of? Well, they're afraid of his size. Now, different people have different measurements of what 6 cubits in a span is. It probably stood somewhere between 9'6 and 11'1, and really it don't matter to me. He's one big sucker. If he tells you he's 11'1 and he's only 9'6, don't whip out your Stanley. He'll tie you in a knot and throw you over his shoulder. He's big. They were afraid of the size. That's what every one of them said. Afraid of his size. Now, there's more against us than there are for us. In the worldly sense, you know what I'm saying? There's more for us in the spiritual sense than there are for the world. But when we look around, we can't see them. The prophet had to have God open the eyes of the servant to see all the ones that were around him. He couldn't see that till God opened his eyes. And I can't see all the angels that are helping us along. I see the enemy. I see the government. Well, they're big, aren't they? Let me tell you something. They would love nothing better than to see the padlock and chains put on the door of the First Baptist Church in Halton City. Wouldn't bat an eye if this thing closed down. We can't hide away and let that happen. We are in the right. We are on the right side of everything. To be afraid of their size minimizes God. When the spies came back to Kadesh Barnea, 10 of them said, "We saw the giants." And Joshua and Caleb said, "We saw them too, but you know, the 10 said we were in our sight and we were in their sight as grasshoppers." And Joshua and Caleb said, "If God's for us, we can take them."
Amen.
See, they looked at the enemy compared to themselves when we should look at the enemy compared to God. The enemy compared to me looks really big, but compared to my God, the enemy's not even on he's not even on the landscape. They were afraid of his size. They were afraid of his reputation. Now Saul told David, "You're nothing but a youth. He's been a man of war from his youth." That was his reputation. From whatever youth was, 10, 11, whatever it was, he got big early, and he was a giant, and he was a warrior. We look at what the world's got in their reputation. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We cannot let the world capture us with what they put out there as how big and bad they are. It became a place of captivity. They were afraid of his size. They were afraid of his reputation. They were afraid of his strength. Be strong in the Lord, the Bible says. Where does our strength come from? Doesn't come from our arm. Cannot come from our arm. We are nothing. Amen. And it's amazing to me that God chooses weaklings like us to take a stand for him. Having done all to stand, he said, "Stand there." When you can't do anything else, just stand there. They were afraid. Became a place of captivity. What happened? Joshua quit too soon. He quit too soon. He may have been an old man when we got to Joshua chapter number 11. I don't know. I should try to find that out. It doesn't matter because God was still with him. And God wanted them all gone. He wanted them all dead. That's what he wanted. You know what he wants in our life? He wants sin dead. Big sin, little sin, white sin, black sin, your sin, my sin. Aren't we having a good time? Think of one person, Madeline Murray O'Hare. There's generations out there now that don't know that name, but she single-handedly removed prayer from the public school system in the 50 states of the United States of America. One woman took prayer. Nothing can live in a vacuum. When prayer was taken out, promiscuity came in. Perverseness came in. Satan worship came in. Rock music came in. Vileness came in. Filthiness came in. Cursing came in. In the absence of prayer. Now the world wants to pray when things get really bad. Everybody here remembers where they were in 9/11. We were in my mom and dad's house in Avon, Indiana, getting ready to go to Romania that morning. Get on a plane, go to Romania. We saw first one tower hit, then the other tower hit, and nobody really knew what it was at the first. And the plane went down in the fields out there in Pennsylvania, and we watched the news. We were glued to it. Finally, I called Delta. We were Platinum Elite had a direct line in. I called up and said, hey, how long is this going to delay the flight? She said, delay? There ain't no planes in the air anywhere except warplanes. We don't know when we're going to fly again. So they canceled the flight, moved it to another date, or just canceled it to whenever we could fly. Because we had those 2 weeks off, we got in the car and went to Florida where the grandkids are. No brainer. Going down the interstate, there's a big sign bought by the United States government, paid for by the United States government, that said, right lane closed 1 mile ahead. Pray for America. Right there on a government sign. And that lasted about 2 weeks. Then we forgot God. Well, chastening really makes you pay attention for just a little while, as long as it's stinging. When the sting goes away, we kind of go back to the way we were. Left them in the place called Gaza, place called Gath. Then there's one more place he left them. Look over to Nehemiah chapter number 13. Nehemiah. Go to Ezra and turn right. Trying to help you. You get to Esther, you've gone too far. But I had to look over and see. Nehemiah chapter number 13. When we get to Nehemiah 13, Joshua's been dead for more than 1,000 years. More than 1,000 years. Look down with me in verse number 23. Chapter 13, verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Gaza was a place of captivity. Gath, a place of cowardice. Come to Ashdod, it becomes a place of compromise. They couldn't speak the Jews' language. Half one language and half the other. This is where we are today, my friends. You stop the average child, the average teenager. Can you give me one verse out of the Bible? And they can't. Have you ever seen a Bible? No, I've never seen a Bible. Know all the players for the Cowboys. Know all the players for the Rangers. I don't know anything about the Word of God. So they'd married these Anakim descendants. Married the women of Ashdod. Half idolatry, half serving God. Not cold, not hot, lukewarm. What did God say? He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Boy, we got so many in church, out of church, up a while, down a while, in a while, out a while, hot a while, cold a while, people that call themselves Christians, and I just don't think you really are if you live that way constantly. There's going to be times that things happen and you're not, you're bent out of shape. What was that place we went to? Cotton Patch for lunch, because everybody here knows my mother loves the fried pickles. Women got fried pickles and they got a diet, Dr. Pepper, and I got water. We prayed and ate the pickles. It was over an hour before they brought the meal. Here's a good chance to be ignorant and stupid and aggravated. When the meal got there, we thought maybe that the prayer had expired. How long does a prayer last for a meal? Maybe we should pray again. Amen. Very nice to all the people that came by. Very nice to the young man that waited on us. He didn't turn the order in. Didn't do it on purpose. If you're gonna sing "Oh How I Love Jesus" in Sunday school and church, and then go out to eat and curse and be vile to someone, then you're half Jewish, half Ashdod. Well, the manager came out and comped the meal to us and gave us vouchers for other things. The asker said, "Are you going to dock the young man's salary?" She said, "Well, I have to think about that." So I left him a tip anyhow. I got the money from Jeannie. Don't leave a track if you've been rude to people. Don't horn cuss people out on the highway if you got a I-10 First Baptist Church of Haltom City bumper sticker on your hood. Half in the world, half in the church. We have compromised our convictions. Let's start with the Word of God. There's so many versions and perversions, I have an aversion to them. There's the NIV and the NKG. And the RSV and the ESV and the MICKEYMOUS. If Walt Disney thought he could have made a dollar, he'd have printed a Bible. Well, one's as good as the other. No, it's really not. Now, I know I'm preaching the choir here, but I believe it says needs to be said. Amen. It either is the Word of God or it isn't. And things that are different are not the same. Said, that's not a big thing, I know, but when you compromise there, it's easy to compromise the next time it goes around. Amen. Compromise on our church attendance. I figure if it's Sunday morning, if it's God's day Sunday morning, it's still his Sunday night. I figure it's his day all day. Some couldn't be here. Some of them sick. Some of them working. I know that. But just to lay out, that's the Ashdod part in our lives. Amen, Brother Harold. I mean, we've compromised. Well, the world has. Come as you are and leave it. Leave like you came. Don't need to change. There should be something about us that wants to honor God. In the way we dress, in the way we act, and the way we comport ourselves should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you always know? You know that. But it ought to. Compromise our convictions, our standards, our dress, our habits, our entertainment. I just thought I'd leave that for a while. I don't know. Nobody said anything. Looking like the world, acting like the world, being like the world. Let me help you a little bit tonight. Listen, I'm not mad at people that smoke. I love you. I want you to quit. You live longer if you do. I'm talking to people that don't. If you don't, you don't need to. It ain't going to help you any. I'm not mad at people that drink. I love them. I don't want you on the highway with me. Amen. I'm talking to people that don't drink. If you don't, you don't need to. It ain't going to help you any. I'm not mad at people that's got a tattoo. Probably got it before you got saved. Not much you can do about it. I'm talking to those that don't have it. If you don't have one, you don't need one. It isn't going to help you. Because first of all, you're going to get it where nobody can see it. But then you spend so much money on it, you want somebody to notice it. So now you got to wear something revealing so they can see it. Let's see if I have anything else written down there. Compromise our convictions, our standards, our language. Gaza is one of God's men against the entire army. Gath is one of the world. It's the entire army of Israel. When it comes to Ashdod, there's really no wrong, no right, no up, no down. Just compromise. Why? Because Joshua quit too soon. I love Joshua. Look, he really represented God in a great way. He and Joseph, two of my great heroes in the Word of God. But he quit too soon. If every one of us looked around, we could see children, or most of us, grandchildren and great-grandchildren coming along. If you quit too soon and compromise, what you can defeat easily with your Christian background and your maturity, they cannot defeat at all. We are stronger than them because we've been there and done that, and God's let us survive. And some of us have survived through many, many mistakes we've made, and we've learned. There's a big difference between being taught and learned. I can teach a child the stove's hot. When he touches it, he's learned. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help me. Lord, forget this crowd. Help me not to give up, not to quit, not to compromise. Father, help me do a work in my life, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Will you